Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I've come to say that I really love you. Come to say that I really love you, Lord. I really love, Lord. I really. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Think like Jesus, win like Jesus. Your victory begins with your mindset. Raise your jotter up, let me see everyone. Man with division, where's your jotter? So the way you folded your hands, I just knew you didn't have jotter. How does that teach you? You just did like this. You want to just listen. You have biro in your brain. Masha Kalaba. But if it's biology, now you will be jotting so that you don't miss exams. You don't fail exams. This exam is exam of life. Oh. It's bigger than BSU exams. That's why you have to be writing. What does it profit you if you pass BSU exam and fail life exam? Some of you who have graduated from BSU, you understand what I'm saying. After you pass exam, oh, see you now. Amen. I mean, you're doing good, isn't it? But you understand what I'm trying to say, right? You think you'll become a billionaire after passing all the exams. But here are we. And you'll become that billionaire in the name of Jesus. Alright? But I'm just trying to make you understand that passing in school does not mean you can pass in life. To understand, to win in life, to pass in life, you need the word of God. Are you listening? In John 1, the Bible calls Jesus life, and that he has life is what? The light of men. Are we together? So it is the life of Jesus. We started with the word. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was the was life, and that life became what? The light of men. So if you have the word of God, you will know life and win in life. Are you here this wonderful morning? Thinking and winning like Jesus. Your victory begins in your mindset. I don't want any dull atmosphere. Are you here? If you don't mean to push you from this church, you better be alive. Huh? Why is favor looking dull? I say be alive, she just carry plenty beads on her hair like the bitter. Favor, be alive. Shout glory, let me hear only you. Shout glory. Now wow. Hallelujah. Alright. Thinking and winning like Jesus, your victory begins in with your mindset. I wrote, I said, many believers want the result of Jesus without adopting the mindset of Jesus. That is impossible. If you want the result of Jesus, you must adopt the mindset of Jesus. Are we together? And listen to this carefully. Jesus did not only win because he was the Son of God. Listen very carefully, please. He did not only win because he was the Son of God. He won because he taught differently. He taught the way God wanted him to think. Remember, Jesus is God, you know, showcasing himself upon the face of the earth, or manifested upon the face of the earth as a mirror for man or us, me and you, to follow. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 3:18 calls Jesus a mirror. In other words, when we see Jesus, we get to understand ourselves. So everything he did on the earth was intentional. He wanted to teach us something. He was teaching us, or teaching us life. And that's why the Bible calls Jesus the Word, and how that he is life, and how that him being as life is the light of men. Are you here this morning? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Forget your house rent and your problem and your carryover. Focus on the Word. Just focus. People think people have problem. Kai Rabasukaradish. I used to be like that. You will not make progress. It's as if they carry stone and pour on your head, rock, and they keep you in one place. Don't be thinking of problems. Okay, can you solve the problems now that you are thinking of it? Cast all your cares upon the Lord. The Bible says he cares more than you. Cast it upon him. He's your father. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. You are thinking about your problem. Now, do you know the number of hair on your head? Huh? Have you ever counted your hair? You have so much problem that you didn't have time to count your hair. Do you know Jesus knows the number of hair on your head? See the kind of time he had for you, or he has for you, that he sat down and counted your hair. I'm not talking about wig. Your hair. Your original hair. I'm not sure he counted wig. But I'm very sure he knows the number of hair on your head. And where there's no hair, he left. Are you here? What amiibo are you doing? It's not you I'm talking to. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. It's fine that they are opening lights everywhere like this. Alright, so he didn't win because he was Son of God. You see, that's Jesus' advantage. He was Son of God, that's why he won. No! He won because he thought differently. The way God wanted him to think and man to think. Are we together? His mindset produced his lifestyle, and his lifestyle produced the victory he had. Now, if we are going to win in life, for some of us who are pastors in ministry, purpose, above trials and temptation, win in relationship, any form of spiritual warfare, we must learn to think like Jesus. We must learn to what? Think like Jesus. Now in Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Meaning you've got to have the same mindset as Jesus had. The same mindset like Jesus had. Or has. Even till today, the mindset is still with him. You've got to think like Jesus. That's what the Bible is saying. Say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, this word has been said in my heart over 3 times in less than 5 minutes. That the younger people should not take their life for granted because they are young. So I'm releasing the word as the Lord is saying it in my heart. Don't take your life for granted because you are a teenager now. A time will come, you will sit down and be thinking of your life and be wondering why you are living, what you are living for. Now that the opportunity is here, follow the wisdom of those who are experienced. Probably they have tried to live like you before. So it doesn't matter whether you are 15 or 17 or 20. When you are coming to church, come with your writing materials. Come with your Bible. Jesus is not old school. He is the light of life. Are you listening to me? He's not old school. As young as you are right now, you must grow old, whether you like it or not. You must. You can't say, Lord, leave me at this level. You must grow old. Alright? So you must learn from now to take your life very seriously. I was in a vision. I'm going to speak with that person today immediately after the church, after the service. I was in a vision and I saw a lady misbehaving in the vision. She had a young man who was kissing her in public. And I saw them. So I called her name. She now said she was denying me. So I don't, I say, I call your name. Say, I don't know what you are talking about. I say, you don't know what I'm talking about. You do I know. So it has been boiling in my heart since the day I saw that vision. Just 2 days back. Some of you were teaching you the word of God and you found that in our church the boys don't want to toast you because they feel they are not qualified and church leadership has not permitted them. And you are wondering whether they are coming to their behaving doll. So you allow worldly boys to toast you. You are 20, you want to get into a relationship. To do what? What do you want to do in the relationship? But we talk now, you say, Pastor, I don't understand. Love is when love happens. Now that you are in a relationship at 20, some of you even at 25, you don't even know why you are in a relationship. Talk less of people in 20. What are you doing there? All you get is, I love you every day. I love you. I love you. I love you. When are you visiting? When are you coming? And when you go, they kiss you around. And that's all. Before you know somebody, and I'm being serious, at 20 you had 3 abortions. Why? Being very serious now. Spoiling your life. The Lord said this word 3 times in my heart. That's why I just caught it and I said, let me share it. Be very wise. Some of you don't understand that as ladies, it is towards ladies, strongly more towards ladies. You don't know that as ladies, when you keep on misbehaving, if God has a special man for you, and you can't wait for the appropriate time for that man to come and ask you out, and you are misbehaving, of course, God will not destroy that man's life by bringing you to that man again. It's not possible. Some of you have wonderful husbands who you've not met yet. Wonderful men who God is preparing them. Preparing them. They are not everywhere. Like those cheap boys you see everywhere. They are hiding. God has a special destiny for them. As He's preparing them, He is preparing you too. But a lot of times you are not patient. You want to feel among. You know, my problem with this generation is that we don't have impetus to stand alone. We always want to feel among. My friends are doing it. I have to do it. They all have boyfriends. I have boyfriend too. So you can't wait to go on Monday morning to school, BSU or Uni Agric or College of Nursing, and announce to your friend that, well, I'm officially in a relationship. And they're like, wow, clock it, clock it, clock it. You too, you are now a monk. Are you all getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And as young men, you got to be careful. It's not enjoyment to sit down. You are just messaging all the ladies on your Facebook. All, you know, some of you put it in church group. You now start looking for girls in the church group. You know, you'll be so amazed. Somebody in church, you just enter church group. He has toasted over 3 people in 1 week in church group. It happens. You know, one day we were in the leadership like 3 years ago, and there was this young man. A report was coming from this department that he asked somebody out. Before I know, when they called the name of the young man, another department responded. He has asked somebody out here too. Another department responded. He has asked. And it's not one. He asked like two or three people out. So I finally just joked and said, it seems like he wrote a broadcast message, love broadcast message. Wrote all the ladies' name. And he just sent it to see which one will enter. Are we together? So, very, very careful. Is that okay? So you're just 17, like I said, 20, you don't know life. So you allow young men to be deceiving you. Calm down. Our church brothers will not ask you out now. But be patient. When the time reach, they will ask you out and marry you. But now, you must be bloodly single and serve the Lord. Pour your attention on the Lord. You see these brothers? They will not do it. But some of them are not thinking it. They don't have money. That's why they are not thinking of it. It's true. Is it Sonny Nan that should go and enter a relationship? What does he have? If I catch him, I finish him. I mean, it's Benjamin that is thinking of his life. Look at how he's sitting down. That you think want to enter a relationship. All this man is thinking of now is his life. Not anybody's life. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there is time for what? Everything. The Bible says, do not stir up love until soul desires. Because love is as powerful as death. That's why if you fall in love, no matter how spiritual you are, you don't hear advice. No matter how spiritual you are. So wait for the right time. Are we together? So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how does God change our actions? By changing our thinking. I've said that several times. I said in 3 John 2, the Bible said, dear beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in what? In health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Meaning God is saying to us that the law of life is this, that nobody can make progress in his life, in his health even, without first making progress in his soul. Are we together? Your thinking affects how you live. Your thinking affects even your good health. The Bible said, by his stripes you are made whole. In other words, if you don't know what God has done for you, you keep on being sick. Are we together? And coming to even logic, if you don't know how things work in life, you'll be sick. You are taking coke too much. You know, it's information that makes you to understand that there's something in coke that can affect you if it's excess. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So even logically, it applies. Are you here tonight? Very important. So point one, Jesus taught with purpose. He taught with purpose. So you won over distraction. One of the major problems in our generation is distraction. People are easily distracted. So Jesus taught with what? Purpose. He won over distraction. He never lived randomly. He never lived randomly. You see him there and see him there and see him there. No, he was living a life of purpose. Everything Jesus did was intentional. For instance, in John 18:37, he said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. He lived with purpose. You can't just call Jesus by 2 p.m. and tell him to come and watch movie. Or call him by 1 p.m. and to escort you to Central Market. He wouldn't go. He was living a life of purpose. He was probably doing something at that time that relates to his purpose. You know, if you don't know where you are going to, they will be calling you every time to escort you. You know, say, come and escort me to Nassau, let me go and do something. Come and escort me to Modern Market, let me go and do something. People that always have time to escort don't have this sense. They don't have an understanding of purpose. It was Bishop Oyedepo that said you can walk and run with people, but if you want to fly, you fly alone. that you what? Fly alone. Do you know that even at age 12, who is 12 here? Nobody. Everybody is more than 12. Even at age 12, Jesus understood purpose. I don't want you to see Jesus with the eye of God alone as I'm teaching now. Even though Jesus is God, are we listening? The Bible calls him two-edged sword. In other words, he is God, but he is also a mirror, working as a mirror for humanity. Are we together? So when you see how, anytime you read the Bible and see how Jesus talks, how he thinks, how he lived his life, you should mirror yourself from the life of Jesus, from the activities of Jesus, from the action and everything of Jesus. If Jesus had the sense of purpose at age 12, he's expecting humanity to know purpose even from that age. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And I was raise up your kids. All of you are potential parents here. You got to raise up your kids so that before age 12, are you getting what I'm trying to say? They understand purpose. Of course, my own will understand before that time. Far. Even now, she's already understanding small, small. Yes. We pray. Sometimes when she, my wife is praying, I almost say my mom. When my wife is praying, because she acts like my mom sometimes. So I carry the baby and go and put inside the room. And I lock them inside. Because firstly, because I'm tired. Then secondly, I want her to see how her mother is praying. That, you know that prayer I described for you people? The neck out. So I'll put her. Watch your mom pray. So that she will know that such a thing what exists. So you see that she's so dramatic. She already understands some of these things. And it's much you say, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. All the songs she knows now, Bible songs. She can never learn Buga or anything. No. It's walking with Jesus. If she hears me now, she'll start singing it. All of those songs, that's how you put children in the right track. And if you have any cousin or friend that comes to your house and starts saying, with your child, you pack their things, you give them 10,000 upon their transport to get out. In fact, for myself, I said, if I catch you, that same day I catch you, that same day I catch you, if it's too late, you go and rent a hotel and stay. You're not being in the house. You don't joke with things like that. Are we together? Train up a child in the way he should grow. And when he's what? He will never depart from that. That was Luke 2:49. Jesus said, do you not know? Luke 2:49. Do you not know I must go about doing my father's business? And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? At age 12. Somebody is telling you, why are you looking out for me? Why? Let me show you the implication. They wrote missing child. And they published news everywhere in town. Missing child, name Jesus. Height, this. Town, this. Description. Tall, fair, long hair, blah, 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 blah. Please, if you find him, call this number, perhaps. And everybody was, and probably they found him preaching. And what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why don't you care that I and your father have been looking for you? And this was his answer. Why do you seek me? Why are you looking for me? See how some of you are folding your hands already. You are imagining it's you and your child. You just throw blue. He said, did you not know that I must be about my father's word? Business. At age 12, he was doing serious evangelism. Not just evangelism, he would go and sit with elders and be proving how that certain things are wrong and certain things are right. He was a real good theologian at age 12. Imagine that before age 12, you knew the Bible very powerfully. Do you know there are certain mistakes you would have not made? You would have been far better than what you are right now. 12. Very important. So, some of you who are 17 and 20, you are not too young to understand the Word of God very well. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. How will we like Jesus in this case? Many people lose because they live without direction. They live without direction. They are everywhere because they live without direction. They can do anything because they live without direction. You can even invite them for a party. You can invite them for this. Because they are living without direction. You know, I love football very well. I love football very well. But you see, football can never make me miss church. The slightest activities in church, I will leave football. I'll forget it. No matter how I love football. Because I know that that's not where my destiny is. Other people will probably play football, but not me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because I found what I'm supposed to do. You can't claim that you are a doctor or you want to be a doctor, but you love football more than medicine. And while you are supposed to be reading for tests, you are playing football. What will happen? You will fail. Are you listening to me tonight? I remember many years ago, immediately I finished BSU, I was living in a certain area opposite Shelter of Glory, that area there. And I started playing football with some people just at the front of my house, not so far, where I rented. And one time they had a competition, a Benue League Cup. And they came, a few of them, the leaders, they came to me that they wanted me to come and play for them. I thought I was dreaming. And they wanted me to come and play the midfield for them. They feel like if I help them play the midfield, they'll be more successful. You know, some of you are looking at me like, which midfield? You know? And I laughed. So when I was laughing, they were getting annoyed. Why is he laughing? I said, I'm not a footballer. He said, you are not a footballer in what you are playing? I said, no, I'm just coming to while away time. If anything in my church comes up, you will never see me in your field. So if you, for instance, I should come and play a league competition for you people, and I have service that Tuesday, you are finer. Guess what? I'll be in church. If it's by me, you win that final. You will never win it. I can't imagine that they say prophet is not in church because he had a league final to play in Benue. So I told them I can't be part of them. They were very surprised. But of course, when they now got to understand me, because they didn't know I was a pastor, some of them now came to church. They now understood. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Very important. That is why even Paul said in scripture that as a good soldier of Jesus, you should not entangle your life with what? Civilian affairs. Do you know some people think you are doing ministry too much? Have you been there before? Said, so you are in a good church now. You keep Jesus. You're serving God is too much. They've not found purpose yet. That is why they think you are doing too much. In fact, some of them have a wrong understanding of purpose. They think purpose is being a doctor. God can use the office of a doctor to fulfill his purpose if you are kingdom oriented. Meaning if you know him and are living for him, he can use that your field to help you fulfill purpose. But being a doctor in itself or a banker or any other career job is not fulfilling what? Purpose. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It without God is not you fulfilling purpose. Whatsoever it is, engineer, anything, programmer, outside God, you are not fulfilling purpose. And a lot of people are comfortable living that way. It's dangerous. I was teaching somewhere and I said something. I said, I promise you, you will regret it. It comes to a point that when you sit down, let's say 50, 40 something, 60 something, you'll be asking yourself, what did I really achieve in this world? And you'll be seeing the cars, you see the house, you see the family. And you'll be like, and what? And so what? A pastor was about to die and he called his younger son, all his children, I mean, especially the boys. He said, do you know the only thing I regret? The children were surprised. The father regrets something. with everything he has achieved. Successful man. Is that the only thing I regret is that I did not go for all the evangelism I wanted to go for. I was procrastinating. Every time I would say, I'll go to that village, another year. I'll go to that city, another year. I'll go and do that. I regret. I'm dying now. I wish I did all of those things for Jesus. Because I'm going to meet him now. He is the only reason for life. I can't go and meet him and say, see what I made on the earth. I made a lot of money. I made this. I born children. Blah, 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 blah. But what if I meet him and we are watching all the impact I made upon the face of the earth? I was able to remove many people on their pathway to heaven. He said, go into the world. He said to all of us, not just to pastors. Go into the world and what? Make disciples. Where do you think you come from? You know, a lot of times you are often teaching, you see people how they sit casually. Some of them are not even looking interested. And you are wondering in your heart, where do you think you come from? You think you truly come from Ikpa Yongun or Okpoga or Igala Land, Auchi? You think so? You hail from God Himself. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you and I what? Called you to be a prophet. In other words, before you became Igala man, you were a kingdom person. And what I'm doing right now is to reveal your identity properly so that you can begin to fulfill purpose. The reason you are smoking today is not because you are a bad person. You don't understand purpose. That is why you can destroy your system. The reason why you are an alcoholic today is not because you are a bad person. You don't understand purpose. My Smurro of Blessed Memory said, when the purpose of a thing is not understood, abuse is what? Inevitable. You can do anything. You can be everywhere because you don't understand who you are. And he said something beautiful also. He said, the greatest crisis upon the face of the earth is not any crisis we see today. He said it is identity crisis. It is the mother. That's the mother of all crisis. Boko Haram are doing what they are doing and bandit because they don't know who they are. If they know who they are, they will not be doing what they are doing today. Identity crisis is the greatest crisis upon the face of the earth. Why do we have kidnappers? They don't know who they are. Why do we have politicians stealing money? They don't know who they are. If they understood who they are, if they understand the word of God, they will not do what they are doing. The Lord said, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Why are you lying? You don't know who you are. If you understand who you are, you can't lie. There is no reason to lie. Because I know who I am. No matter the situation, I cannot lie. I cannot steal. It doesn't matter the situation. I cannot steal. There's a saying that says, no matter the condition of the jungle, you will never catch the lion eating grass. It's not possible. Because the lion understands itself. It doesn't have identity crisis. Are you here tonight? A distracted mind produces a defeated life. When you think like Jesus, you stop chasing everything. You become focused. You say no to distraction. You pursue destiny intentionally. Intentionally. You know what God wants you to do and you are walking towards it every day. Now, I wrote a practical illustration. A footballer who focuses on the crowd instead of the goalpost will miss the goal. You want to go and score and you're hearing, you know, have you watched, some of you watch football, right? Huh? All right. When are Arsenal playing their final? Huh? Alright, so in case you are going to watch that final that day, and probably, let's imagine that Arsenal lost in the final, for instance. Okay, let's imagine they won in the final. Alright, amen? I'm going somewhere. Please, if you are an Arsenal fan, don't leave this church now. Just focus on me. I was trying to give an example. Imagine that call one player in Arsenal team now. Huh? Okay, Rice. They call Rice. Now, imagine The man is going to school and the opposition are shouting, useless rights, useless rights. You know, that's how they behave. The fans. Do you know you hold the ball like this and the fans will be insulting you? That's why I see some blacks, some Africans who are playing, sometimes they just throw the ball because they won't throw you banana and call you a babu or call you different names. Some of them will have song for you. Opposition have song for you. Only you. You are holding the ball and they are singing the song for you. He will miss it. He will miss it. Useless player. Useless. And imagine you are now focused on them. You will not score any goal. That's why you need a lot of mind discipline to be a good footballer. Mind discipline. Are you listening to me? A lot of mind discipline. Why do you think people appreciate Ronaldo very well? Mind discipline. Are you listening to me? Listen, the reason why some of us follow like Ronaldo is not because Messi does not know how to play football. Messi is a very beautiful footballer. But the reason why we love Ronaldo is because the way he has played football and won in football, his success teaches more about victory. If you follow, you know, Ronaldo is a curse in certain countries. He's a curse. Ronaldo 101. Yes, go and browse it if you think I'm lying. Do you know, okay, let me give you an instance. Do you know which footballer has missed the most penalty? Who knows the footballer that has missed the most penalty? Huh? No, it's Ronaldo. Are you shocked? Do you know who has scored the most penalty? Ronaldo. He's the highest in penalty. And he has lost more. In other words, no matter how you are failed, you can still win. See, my wife is clapping for Ronaldo for the first time. She should be a Messi fan. but she doesn't used to. She used to feel Ronaldo was proud till I explained some things to her. So you see that? The most comebacks in football was done by who? Ronaldo. You are losing like 3-0. You see him come. I remember Spain and Portugal. They just pack him and everybody. The Spain fans just put their hand on their head. Sergio Ramos just went to the side and just started doing like this. Everybody knew that he would score. Everybody knew that he would equalize for Portugal. And you ask questions like, before Ronaldo, where was Portugal? Nowhere. But before Messi, where was Argentina? Everywhere. Alright, let's continue. Because some Messi fans are already saying, give me a microphone, I want to reply first. Number two, Jesus taught with faith, so he won over fear. Before miracles happened, Jesus already believed. At Lazarus' tomb, Jesus spoke with confidence before the miracle appeared. Father, I thank you for you have already what? Heard me. That's what he said. He spoke with faith. And that's why he lived over fear. Fear makes people surrender before battles begin. They surrender before battles begin. I was talking to leaders yesterday. I said, I love challenges. They boost your faith. Jesus said, count it all joy. I love it when 50 billion demons. Abego, what is happening there? Are you here tonight? Amen. I told them yesterday, I said, I love challenges. In fact, the Bible said, count it all joy. I love to hear that 50 billion demons say they will kill me. I love it. I love those kind of challenges that people are trying to kill me. I love it. It boosts my faith. Imagine I'm in heaven and the Lord is showing me the 50,000 people who wanted to kill me in hell. And it's like, son, you clock it. You did well. Look at them. And the Lord shows me the video how they died. When they were calling my name, Simon, Simon, and an explosion happened, and they all died. So, you see, why is he so sure that he can't die? Because of the word. Jesus is the rock. Don't you get it? You can't be standing on Jesus and fail. It's not possible. If he says you can't sin, the rock said you can't sin, and you're on the rock, not the wrestling rock, Jesus. Because wrestling rock can be defeated, but Jesus can never be defeated. If he's a rock, I can never fail in life, because I'm standing on the rock, not sinking sands. I've never imagined somebody killing me. It can't happen. I told a friend one time, I said, why do we always believe that people will not kill us spiritually, but they can kill us physically? If you can't kill me spiritually, you can't kill me physically. I said, but Simon, do you have gun and bulletproof? I don't have. I have Jesus. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God to pulling down all forms of strongholds. Now, no movement. Please sit. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? That's why I go out and I speak boldly. The Bible says he has said so that we may boldly say. For instance, whatever he has said, I'll resound it confidently. Boldly, the Bible said. If he says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, Romans 6:14, but under grace, what will I say? Sin cannot have dominion over me. I can never walk in sin. I can never fail. In the name of Jesus. They say you are proud. No, you are not proud. You are just resounding what the word of God has said. For instance, let's read it. The Hebrews 13, go back there. It says, he has said, so that we may boldly say, let your conduct be without what? Covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never what? Leave you. Nor what? Forsake you. Next part of scripture. So we may what? Boldly say, the Lord is my, I will not. What can man do unto me? What did Jesus tell us? I will never leave nor forsake you. See our response. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? If he says I can't sin, and sin seems like he's threatening, people are saying, hey, be careful not to sin. I tell them I can't sin. The Bible says we are born of God and have overcome the world from birth. Before we met any trial and tribulation, any temptation, we overcame before that day. The day we overcome is not the day we face that trial and overcome it. We overcame before that day. He said, you are born of God and have overcome the world, because he that is great is in you is what? Greater than he that is of the world. From birth, you had the overcomer's nature in your DNA. You can't fail. Say, I can't fail. It has to be your thinking. If you want to win like Jesus, you got to think like Jesus. He had no limitation, no single limitation. When there was lack, he didn't see lack, he saw abundance. 5,000 people, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. Jesus did not see 5 loaves. And that's why he thanked the Lord. In the smallness, he was thanking God. Was he thanking God for the smallness? No, he was thanking God for what he was seeing in his heart. You see that? Paul said somewhere in his letter, he said, knowing what God has done for us and our heart overflowing with thankfulness. You know, when we picture what Jesus has done for us, we don't worry and miss lack. We are excited because what we are seeing is not the lack. We are seeing the abundance in our hearts. We are seeing what Jesus has done for us. The Bible said, did not say looking on to your situations. It said looking on rather to what? Jesus. Who is what? The author and the finisher of the whole of your faith experience. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And your life experience, my whole life experience is Jesus. Not lack. Are you listening to me? Not failure. I refuse to fail. I can't fail. Now that's not pride. We boldly say. He did not say timidly say. He has said so that you may what? Boldly. So I refuse to walk in failure. I can't fail. It's not possible. In fact, in a particular part of scripture, the Bible says, whatsoever is good, think of it. Whatsoever is nice, think of it. In other words, you have the power to think rightly and produce the right result in your life. God is like, the results in your life is a function of your choice. You have the power to think what you want and see what you want. That's why he's telling you, whatsoever is nice, think of it. Because as a man thinketh, so is it. So for instance, you wake up in the morning, you don't think failure. You don't think falling to sin. You don't think any rubbish. And that's why you don't pray in that manner. Father, please, let Satan not make me to fall today. Satan cannot make you fall today.
Because you are not in Satan's hand. You are seated together with Christ at the Father's right hand. You sit in the place of authority. Here Satan cannot come nigh. Are you listening to me? So you are not scared. You are not scared. Hallelujah to Jesus. Satan cannot come nigh. I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus. I know who I am. In the name of Jesus. You boldly declared. They say, are you proud? Why are you saying you can't sin? Who is above sin? Say, I am above sin. Why are you saying you are above sin? That's a lie. Nobody is perfect. If nobody is perfect, the Father cannot call you to be perfect. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Stop seeing perfection too big in your carnal mind. Perfection is a possibility in God. He said, be perfect. See what he says, for instance, in 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3. Now, this is it. Be perfect. Matthew 5:48. But now see in 1 John 5:3. See what he says. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandment are not burdensome. In the Amplified rendition, everyone, I want you to read. The Amplified rendition. Everyone, let's read. For the true love of God is this, that we, and what? And his word. And his word. Are not what? God said they are not difficult to obey. Who is saying they are difficult to obey? Even if your mind tells you, living for God is hard, fight your mind. The Bible says if your mind condemns you, God is greater than your mind. Your heart. You know, sometimes Satan can speak to you through your heart. He can tell you, hey, listen, this thing is very hard, though. Just give up already. No, I can't give up. He said, my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Yes, he said it. If another preacher is telling you it is hard to live for God, just know that Satan is, even if he sounds humble, it is Satan that is speaking through him, not God. Because the resultant effect of that preaching is that you go and hinge your life, anchor your life on that message. That message now become more like a sinking sand. You are thinking it's rock. Because you think that living for God is hard, your expectation will be wrong. You'll be expecting to sin because you have already settled in your heart that it is not possible to live for God. Meanwhile, God is saying, my yoke is what? My burden is what? Light. I can live for God. I can be perfect. In the name of Jesus. Why? He said it in his word. He said it in his word. I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus. He has said so that we may what? Boldly see. Jesus never allowed fear to dominate his thinking. He never. He subjected fear in his mind. He subjected it every time. How we win like Jesus. Fear makes people surrender before the battles begin. Faith thinks beyond current circumstances. Faith thinks beyond current circumstances. Jesus teaches us. See possibility when others see impossibility. See possibility when others see impossibility. Trust God even before evidence appear. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, when you see the word of God, that's the evidence that there's going to be victory in the situation. As long as you have seen it in God's word, that's enough evidence. Don't wait for any practical. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you see it in the word, start rejoicing already. Start rejoicing. Rejoicing. You have money. If you are hungry now and I give you $1,000. And $1,000 can probably feed you. Maybe give you lunch. And you are hungry. Do you know you feel a sense of satisfaction receiving the money already? Not like your belly is filled though. But there's this peace beyond understanding that comes to you. Because you have what can give you food in less than 5 minutes when you are done leaving me. You see that? That's why you can see somebody on a sick bed, and while others are crying, you are not really crying. Because you know God's word can remove that person from the sick bed. Jesus said she's not asleep. She's not dead. I mean, she's asleep. He spoke faith language. Remember the Bible said, we'll not all die, but we'll all sleep. He spoke faith language. He said, listen, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Let me wake her up. Faith sees from the perspective of God. You see that? They had gone. Jesus did not see limitation. He walked upon water. Lazarus was dead, 3 days gone. Jesus came back. He said, Lazarus, come out. Before he told Lazarus to come out, he said, open the tomb. The place began to stink. It was smelling. He didn't say anything. He said, open it. He didn't say, Lazarus, wake up. When you come to the tomb, they will know you have woken up. They will now open the distance so that you come out. He said, open it. It will work. Tell somebody it will work. Open it. It will work. Don't be telling me to raise Lazarus back to life before you open it. Just open it first. You know the business will work. Are you very sure it will work? Go and design the logo. You know it will really work? Open a Facebook page. You know it will really work? Start anyhow. Just start anyhow. Some sort of. Make video. Talk about the business. Maybe the capital is not physical yet. Just speak like everything is figured out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God will meet you as you take bold steps of faith. He told them, fetch the water. When they fetched the water, they came to him because they were seeing water. He said, fetch the water. They fetched water at the wedding feast. They now came back to Jesus, see the water. He said, go and serve it. Listen, they were going to serve water. But when they dropped that thing, go and read your Bible. I'm not lying. When they dropped it, it became wine. It was as they were going to submit the water that the water changed to wine. Not when they stood before Jesus, I was saying, we have fetched the water. He said, go and give them now. When they went and were, the people were seeing wine. I can just imagine the kind of chaos in that place that day. The people who are serving are surprised. So, wow, this wine is beautiful. I just imagine them at the side saying, now wine we serve. What is happening in this place? He will meet you at that point of obedience. As you are going, God will meet you there. He told Moses before the Red Sea. Moses said, so what should I do? He said, go forward, a little bit forward. Go forward again. I miss trouble, go forward. Where am I going forward to? Moses went again, a little bit forward. He said, okay, stretch what you are holding. If Moses refused to go forward, nothing would have happened. In other words, face the trial. Face it with conviction. Nothing can happen. Are you listening to me? Face Goliath. Talk boldly. You can't fail. You can never fail. It's not possible. Face your fear. What are you scared of? Lapokopalia. I refuse to fear. No, never. Never caught in fear. In the name of Jesus. Always victorious. That's the story of my life. Forward and upward always. I can never fail. You look at 1 million people saying they can't do it. You say, I can do all things. And right now, I'll prove it to you. All things through Christ who strengthens me. In the name of Jesus. I can do it. I refuse to fail. Benway cannot limit me. Oh, Libro Kapale. I don't need to be in Abuja first. From here, they'll see my light. Jesus does not become better because I'm in Abuja. Jesus is not expressed better because I go to Lagos or Johannesburg. Jesus is light of life, light of any city. If I'm here with Jesus, I will be seen from any location. He's the brightest light that can ever hit the earth. He is always the emphasis. Are you listening to me? I'm standing here, they are coming. Nations are coming to my light. Why? Because I'm shining Jesus. Little one that said, let your light so shine before men. Let it shine. Don't die a local champion. Are you listening to me? Think big. Choose the big things. The next time they say, choose your salary, tell them 1.5 million. Let it scare them. Let them now beg for 1 million. And you see, you are not a failure. When you do the job one time, they'll know why you said 1.5 million. You are competent. You don't need to be here to be very excellent too. To be powerful as a Christian. Joseph was not a preacher. He was not a preacher like me. He was a politician. Are you listening to me? Daniel too. He was not a preacher on the pulpit. He was into politics. He was a businessman. Are you listening to me? And yet he was full of the anointing. They couldn't kill him in the marketplace. They couldn't kill him there. He didn't forget God because he was a programmer. He didn't forget God because he was an engineer. No, he was doing it and having time to pray in other tongues. And when they put him as chairman of committee, he didn't say, ah, now I don't have time for the things of God anymore. No! He kept on praying in tongues. He had time to pray. Let me not say praying in tongues, because they were not praying in tongues those days. But he had time to pray. The Bible says he would turn towards Jerusalem and pray every morning and evening. He would be praying. He would be praying. Little wonder, in a tough situation, he came out. They plotted against him because of his God. They say, this guy will never bow to that God. So let us set him up with the king. They set him up with the king. And when they set him up with the king, he actually did not bow. He said, king, there are some things I don't obey kings for. I will not bow. I can't worship your God. It doesn't matter the opportunity you have given me. Whether they call you my destiny helper or not. When it comes to this point, I can't bow. God is the ultimate destiny helper that connects us with any physical destiny helper. When they say destiny helper, they don't mean bow to their God so that they will help you. They don't mean bow to their values so that they will help you. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, glory to God. And they threw that guy in the lion's den. I asked a lady years ago. I said, the way you are living God now, because he has opened certain small doors for you. You don't even know this God. This door that you are thinking is big is the smallest one yet. He just opened the first one for you. You have left him. You don't have time serving God again. Church is now boring. I asked her a question. If they throw you in the lion's den. Now, I'm not saying physical lion's den for you. You want to get to a higher position as a lady and they say you must sleep with these three men. What will you do? Will you be able to overcome it? I asked her a simple question. I said, if they throw you in the lion's den like Daniel, with the level of your faith and fire now, answer me boldly. Will you come out of that lion's den or that lion will kill you? She thought about it and she told me, sir, I think the lion will kill me. I said, this is proof you need to burn more for the Lord. Life is not joking with you. Don't think Satan will be watching you succeed. Ah, look at that guy. He's a good programmer. He's a Christian. That's the person Satan is timing. I want to get him for myself. Let him code some kind of animation where men will be kissing men. And Satan does not do it easy. He gives you $5 billion. The Christian network will tell you that I can give you $500 million for now. But Satan will call with $5 billion. Which one sounds more juicy? They'll say, just code it for us. You don't need to put your name. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? What? When you are done spending all of these things, sometimes you look at other people's experience and learn. Look at all these great politicians who stole money in Nigeria. Look at some of them are on wheelchairs today. With all the monies they have, what can they do with the money right now? It cannot even help them. There are some of them on wheelchairs. Some of them died anyhow. After stealing the whole money, they died. Casually, anyhow. Are you beginning to say? As a child of God, that's not how you think. No. You see, you can give me $500 billion. But listen to me. You see that $5 million the church are offering? That's the one I'll collect. And I'll do it to the glory of God. Because one with God is majority. Daniel said, I don't care. You know, if Daniel bowed, he will keep on becoming the ruler of the committee. Over seven kings, seven kingdoms, or nine kingdoms. He was chairman. You know the kind of money entering Daniel's account? He was seeing the opportunity lost in one day by refusing to bow. He chose losing the opportunity. He did not bow. They said, cast him. Throw him the lion's den. 2 months, no food. Throw him. He entered the lion's den full of faith. He is the one that wrote to us and said, it is them that know their God. Those that know their God. He said, they shall be strong. That is writing is not a coincidence. He said, those that know their God. Are you saying? That means not the God you know when you come and sit here with me. When you finish, you go and interface with this knowledge. And it becomes your God personally. He said, they shall be strong. They shall do exploits. Daniel had a strong mind because he knew his God. Lions then. Do you know how many people would have said, oh king, I will bow. What is him bowing? I will bow. What is there? I will bow. Sometimes you hear people joke. If bandits catch you and say, deny Jesus, what is there? I'll deny him and accept him after they leave me. I'll deny him. I've heard people joke like that. I'll deny him and accept him later. What if you don't see the leave to see the later? You appear before God
and he's looking at you and smiling. What happened? You denied him. I think this other guy should come and ask this question. What if you deny Jesus when bandits catch you? Have you lost your salvation? Will you still make heaven? Are you here tonight? What they didn't know is that God can even save you from bandits. It is possible. See, expect this kind of crazy manifestation of the Spirit. Prophet Simon, why are you talking like you have seen it? I have not seen it all. But I tell you the truth. These are my expectations. I don't know whether bandit will catch me tomorrow or next tomorrow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But these are my sunesis. This is my understanding. This is my expectation. Years ago, I entered my compound, over 30 people with guns. True life story. He's not here. He ran away, my protocol. If I had faith in protocols, I would have failed that day. When protocol runs away and leaves his pastor, I turn, my boy is gone. It is me, my God, and the guns, and everybody. There are over 30 of them. Instead of going back, there's something called the spirit of faith. Instead of running back, because they have called me and warned me not to come back home, that there are gunmen in my compound. I said I don't have another house in Makodi. And I'm coming back to my house. And immediately at the gate, when we opened, there were plenty. Instead of running back, you know, after the thing happened, I was thinking about it. I said, what really happened to me? I went inside. You see people with gun, you are still going to your room. In fact, they did not shoot you. They left you with the opportunity to close it and go. No, I went inside. I was saying, good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Till I opened my door and entered. Then I asked myself, what just happened? And I peeped through my window. They were still there. That same night, I heard that they collected people's phone in that part of Makodi. Collected people's phone, beat up people. But me, while I was entering, it was, good evening, sir. Good evening, sir. Where was protocol? Gone. Midnight, he called me, sir, is everything okay? Are you fine? I said, if you wanted to know that I was fine, you would have stayed with me. I'm perfectly fine. Am I teaching indiscipline? No. I'm not saying go and test God. Go and look for bandits and say, oh yeah, come now. You are on your own. As much as you can protect yourself and avoid those things, avoid it. But we're in a country that no matter how you avoid, sometimes you may enter into the situation. If you enter, does it mean that's your day of death? Do you know God can make a gun not to crack for your sake? You know, when you read Bible days, you are saying they no use gun here. They no use gun. Now, arrow did they use? If they use gun for work. Do you think God is limited by gun? An unbelieving, uncircumcised Philistine? See how David set that guy up. See how he set him up. Do you know David set that guy up? I always tell people, David put that guy in trouble. Goliath. People were calling him Goliath. Goliath, strong man. David came. He said, God, this uncircumcised Philistine standing before your army. And God just shook his face. Really? He's really standing before my army? He set him up with a covenant. You know, I was talking to a friend, he was showing me a scripture. He said in the Old Testament, God even spoke about a special people. He said, separate for me a people who are unique. I'm trying to paraphrase. By the understanding of my covenant. Moses said, David said, uncircumcised Philistine. Who stands before God's army? He said, today. Why was he sure that the guy would die? His uncircumcised was Philistine. He said, today, I will pluck off your head. And I'll feed this your big head to the birds of heaven. With which cutlass, man, we don't know. Not holding any cutlass. The only thing he was holding was reciprocal to catapults. And Goliath was wondering, you know, imagine if you're a Goliath, the way you are big. One small boy is talking to you like that, you'll be wondering, is he mad? Goliath was wondering. In fact, I think the Bible says he even laughed. He was just wondering. That guy is a comedian. What is he saying? Moses' elder brother were already fuming. This idiot have come again. That's how he behaves. Talkative. Anywhere he go, he'll be talking.
You know, sometimes if you want to fulfill destiny, some people must say you are doing too much. I'm telling you the truth. You come to a point where people are saying, calm down, you are doing it too much. And the guy died. He died. Moses carried his own, the sword of Goliath, cut his head. When he cut his head, the people, they took caution. Why? Because he had promised to kill Goliath. And yes, Goliath. If he killed Goliath and plucked his head, and he promised that we too are the back of Goliath, he will kill us. Goliath have died. What of us? They ran for their lives. They ran for their lives. I see the most important part of that story to learn is that Moses, David spoke. He spoke. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Say it. What Jesus has done for you, you must say it. Oh. You can't keep quiet. If you keep quiet, you will not see it. You say it. I cannot fail. I can't fail. You've got to say it. Say it before Goliath. Before any mountain. You are in your greatest crisis right now. Your business seems to be going down. You look at the business. Look at it very well. And say, business, you dare not die. Nothing dies around me. In the name of Jesus. Business, you are rising. You are rising. You are rising. In the name of the Lord. You can't fail. I can't fail. You can't fail. Nothing fails around me. Bold declaration. You go back that, you go to work that day, they give you the worst news. The worst news. You look at them in the eyes and say, it's impossible. It's impossible. I refuse to fail. I remember Bishop Oyedepo's story. He said his wife had been having miscarriage. And one time he came back home, she had another miscarriage. And she just told him, honey, I had miscarriage. He said, not possible! Give me my food. Now, how do you reconcile these two things that just happened? Not possible with a loud voice. The next, give me my food. And he ate like there was no problem. He now pampered her to sleep. He said he prayed the whole night. He declared God's word. That was the last time miscarriage happened in her life. He declared it will never happen again. He had solutions. He knew solution was in God. That's why when he shouted, not possible, he didn't try to beat her. You know, some useless men will say, what is wrong with you? Let's go and check your father, mother, blah, blah, blah. Are you okay? Are you okay? You are head of the home. How did miscarriage follow and come? It is you who should catch. You know, there are some certain tribes that will be blaming women. In fact, she's burning just girls. They'll be blaming her. She now only girls she gets for her body. As if boys are good. How many boys can even remember their mother's maiden name? They may know the mother's first name. They don't even know their mother's son name. They've forgotten. A man was, he brought his two children to Petra for training. He said to me, Pastor, I don't joke with my daughters. I don't know why he was preaching that sermon to me. He took over 30 minutes. He said, please teach these girls very well. They are my egg, my this, my that. I was just looking at the man. I've never seen somebody like that. He said, you see, boys, they don't have sense. They will not even, these are my everything. He will even be hugging them as he's talking to me. Teach them. This one is my flower. This one is, and she's married. One of them was married. He said, I don't care whether she's married. I will train her with all my money. See, those boys, they don't used to think straight. He said, I'm advising you. What is your first child? I say, a lady. He said, oh, God has blessed you. It means your home is blessed. I say, eh. Yeah. He said, yes. You see that? Then you see some men. Every day, girl. Every day, girl. Girl. Who is producing the girl, Olodo? It's you. If you want girl, if you want man, speak to yourself. You are the one producing what you are seeing. Because you did not go to school, you are shouting girl every time, girl every time. It's Olodo. Are you here tonight? Glory to God forevermore. So if you want a man, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I produce a man child. If you want a woman, say, in the name of Jesus, my father said, told me a story. He said, I was refusing all he wanted. So he started trusting God for another boy. So
The last boy, his name is Adua. You know what he said? He said, prayer produced the boy. He told God, I've lost this one. Give me another one. Now, this one will do all his will. Me, I will do all the will of God. Well, of course, he will still do the will of God. Anything they talk around, he agrees. Now, they say, go and be a military man. He has already accepted. All it is I rejected, he's accepting. Are you here tonight? I believe if you want a male child, speak it into existence. If you want a woman, speak it into existence. Don't be saying, no, no, no. For instance, I want a male child, the next one that's going to come. I will speak it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, put man in me. Man. Regosh. Then take man in the name of Jesus. Your stomach, come out now, come out. Like she was conceived the first time of the Holy Ghost. And the second time now of the Holy Ghost. What are you thinking? I'm a man of God. No such thing happens. Say, I know who I am. I can never walk in failure. Oh, not possible. All the great men of God you've heard about, you've read about, they walked in faith. That's why we're talking about them today. It's not easy to walk in faith. A lot of times Satan will come and put a lot of trouble in your head. Refuse it. I only walk in faith. Never in fear. In the name of Jesus. Are you here? Another way, one other characteristic of Jesus was the fact that he walked in humility. If I say all these things and don't point that humility aspect, you would think that you should just be acting pompous, and a little bit you may fall in pride. Who, being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, Philippians 2:7. The form of God, yet he made himself of no reputation. He talked with people nicely. He greeted people nicely. He even washed the feet of his disciples. You've got to be humble if you want to be like Jesus. And Jesus won the hearts of people because he served. Not because he wanted to be served. He served. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, I wrote a practical lesson there. I said, you do not become great by being above people. You become great by lifting people through service. By lifting people through service. Jesus said, I have not come to be served. I have come to what? Serve. Now, one other point I want you to see is Matthew 4:6-7. Jesus taught spiritually. He spoke, you know, he was on the earth as a man, showed us how to win as a man from the nature of humanity. See, for instance, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Satan is quoting scripture. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you should dash your foot against a stone. Satan is quoting scripture. So threatening. So if you don't know the Bible, you are finished. Because Satan knows Bible. You must go beyond just even knowing Bible to understanding scriptures. Because here Jesus proved to Satan that Satan probably has memory verse, but he understands the scripture. Look at the response of Jesus. 7. He said, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now imagine you don't understand scripture. Satan will give you wrong revelations in your heart. Just like some people that Satan is speaking through. You hear them say things, God, like God is in the heart. If I don't go to church, is in my heart. Have you heard people talk like that? The same God who said, neglect not the gathering of brethren. Neglect it. He's telling you to stay in the house. So that it's in your heart. You will not do service in the house, in your heart. No. Something happens on the strength of the corporate anointing when you come to church. The Bible said when you come to church, it said you get perfected. It's what happens is that there's a perfecting of the saints. You get perfected as a Christian. You listen to the word of God, there is mind renewal. That cannot happen in your house. Are you listening to me tonight? You want to win in life, I tell you, the surest odd to winning in life is to have a local church and attend every time. Attend religiously. As long as you have been exposed to God's word, you cannot fail. The Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. And how does faith come? By hearing the word. So if you are not hearing the word, how do you win in life? Sometimes you need to lose that job. If not, you will not see where you are supposed to go to. You will not understand where the next step to make. Sometimes they need to sack you. Because God is tired for you. He's even tired for you. So he will inspire them to sack you. Now they'll sack you, be saying, God, who will I go to? If you don't help me, where else can I go? And that's when you now show you, this is where we should go actually. You were in the wrong place. I love you so much, I wanted you to start collecting 1 million. You are collecting 100,000. But can your mind travel that far that now that you are collecting 100,000, God wants you to collect 1 million? Can you see it? Most people collecting 50K, 100,000, they don't. This thing I'm saying is a fairy tale. 1 million. As how now? How? Where? I promise you, most time God will sack you from that job. For very funny reasons. They'll say he came to work and he was not smiling well. We did not like the smile. Sack him. Then when you go to God, you say, I orchestrated it. Now it's time. And you'll be so shocked 2 months down the line, you are saying, God, are you real? Are you there? Come, God, are you there? 3 months down the line, you now start singing, if you don't help me, where else can I go? 4 months down the line, you now say, even if you slay me, I will never let go. At that point, God will say, he's ready. He has given up on everything. That job he applied 2 months ago, let him get it. I heard this story before we close. This wonderful man of God said he went to the UK to, and one of his spiritual children with his wife, they came to greet him. And while they were enjoying themselves and talking, he heard the sad news. He just lost his job. He said, you just lost your job. How? Now, how will they cope? The wife is doing a smaller job. It was in a very big job, in a very big company. Now, it was on a Saturday. The man of God said, while they were talking, the man of God said, he sensed the anointing. He didn't just say because he felt nice. He sensed the anointing. And he said to him, God said they will give you back this job with a better pay in a higher position. You know, it's called the spirit of faith. As he spoke, he came back to his senses. Even the guy started doubting. He now said, in fact, God said, go to that office on Monday morning. Just dress and go back there. He said, sir, they pursued me. They said I should not come. He said, dress as your pastor. I'm telling you, dress and go back there like nothing happened. So on Monday morning, he dressed, arranged himself, and he went to the office. He was so shocked that somebody was at the door welcoming him. So you heard of what happened, right? He said, what happened? While he was trying to go to his former table, they told him, no, you are not going here again. Now you are the manager. They took him to the position of the manager. You know what happened? Saturday, the prophecy came. On Sunday, God inspired the owner of the company to travel to that country. When he came to the country, he said, we're in a board of trustees. Where is that particular leader? They say he has been fired. He said, for what? He collected everything and checked his record. The guy was good. Everything was going well. Because he had a problem with somebody, that's why they fired him. He said, bring that guy back. He fired the person that fired him and gave him the position of the manager. And they said, what was more juicy about that story was that that owner of the company had always been thinking of the record of that person coincidentally. Because anytime he takes record, he's always, who is this person? His work is always excellent. So it just came to his heart. The Holy Ghost reminded him that Saturday when the prophecy came. He said, that person you have always been thinking of, go and see him. Go and see the company. That's how that guy got promoted. Who says God does not exist? Who says God does not exist? I coincidentally saw a video on Facebook. A footballer was playing very well. COVID-19 came. Club was bankrupt. He was in his hotel in the country. There, I think his house rent finished, so he was in a hotel. One day for the hotel fee to finish. He was started crying. He cried, prayed, prayed, cried. That one night, it's not really a born again
He's a footballer, so you know what I'm talking about. When he was done crying and the rest, he now told God, no problem. If you don't want me to be successful, I'll just be on the streets like everybody. No problem. I've accepted my fate. When he was done with everything, he said he saw something, a being in form of a dove. He was looking at the being. The being was looking at him. And suddenly he felt some kind of goosebumps on his body. And immediately after that experience, somebody called him, his friend, and said there was a video clip that gave me a club in Portugal. And the person said he saw how I passed the ball to you and you dribbled everybody and scored. So the person is asking whether you would like to play in our team too in Portugal, if you don't mind. He said, this is my last day in my hotel. I don't mind. He said he entered a train, plane, traveled to Portugal. They did not even ask him for papers. Nobody asked him for papers. That's how he became a footballer and kept on enjoying his money till today. Somebody will say it's a coincidence. I love these kinds of coincidence. See, they said Jesus' bone cannot be broken. Culture says break their bone. That, I was telling yesterday about favor. Favor. Favor is very important though. No matter how hardworking you are, trust God for favor. The Bible says, encamped around the righteous as a canopy. And I told him something yesterday. I said, if you don't have integrity, you will not walk in favor. You must learn to walk. This is bigger than the anointing. I'm telling you the truth. You must. I'm not saying if you have favor, you will not have the anointing. I'm not keeping. See, favor is more like you can be anointed, and if favor is upon you, it's something added to the anointing. More like an ingredient added to the anointing. You can be anointed and not be walking in favor. It's possible. Because favor is initiated by integrity. You must act like the righteous. The Bible says favor is encamped around the righteous as a canopy. If you are not acting righteously, you can't walk in favor. They say break their bones. Culture say break anybody's bones that die. But it was prophesied about Jesus that none of his bones will be broken. And the soldier said, we did not take permission from Oga. We did not, culture says, but don't break the bone of this Jesus. I just like the guy. He thought like he was just being merciful to Jesus. He didn't know he was fulfilling prophecy. I tell you, this is how you enter into your millions. Somebody will just look at you and say, I just like the way she smiles. I think she will make a good manager. Bring her into the business. I know what I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. I prayed for my sister to get a job. They sacked her from her former company. It pained her so much. Guess what happened? She got another job. She was employed. Day of resumption, they told her not to come again. She called me and was crying. I said, if I be a man of God, you're going to have a better job, better pay, better environment, loved by all. I kept on sending her money every once in a while. Coincidentally, the company she applied for now, it was one of our person here, that one of the key person in the company was one of our person that was in church here. He now called me and said, sir, I just want to greet you and tell you that your sister applied for a job in my company. As I saw the name, I traced her to you. And I want to assure you she will get the job, sir. I said, He said, yes, sir. I said, when she get the job, call me and tell me she has gotten the job. He said, yes, sir. When they gave her the job and everything, she did not know the day she got the job. I knew first. So I just want to let you know that we have printed the admission letter. So we have told her to come and collect the letter, blah, blah, blah. Everything is ready, sir. She has gotten the job. I said, thank you, my man. And I told her, you have gotten the job. She said, they have not contacted me. I said, when they contact you, let me know. When they contacted her, 2 times the former salary, better environment. And the boss, the woman who was doing the interview, said, she likes her to work in this main branch with her. They should not take her to the other branch. Because she likes the way she just liked her authority. You know, my sister talks with authority, actually. She can be very stubborn. I like her authority. I like when a woman is confident. I want to work with her. And they kept her in the main branch. It's called favor. It's called favor. And this is how God will give you a job. It's not a coincidence. God will give you a wonderful job. I just feel this wave of the anointing around this place. I hear the word a million naira. I see the Lord promoting somebody to a job that will give you millions. God is merciful. I see something that has to do with money.
You know why I'm taking time to give this prophetic word? Because I've even seen the people looking so casual. So I'm wondering why God is even talking to them. Man with the vision and that lady. That lady. Are you people in a relationship, self? Do you people always you are in a relationship? Come, let me prophesy to two of you. You are not answering me. So you are always looking like husband and wife. After service, I will see you people. Let me understand better. Come. You that did not bring Jota to church today, the Lord is giving me a word for you. Okay, you are showing me your phone. Alaji. Magajia. I'm seeing something that has to do with a million and millions. I don't know. But the Lord is speaking money. Money. Alright? I want you to go back. She's just smiling. She's shy. The Lord is speaking money. I see millions. And I want you to go back home and prepare your heart for this. I don't even know what you have applied for or anything you are preparing for that entails millions. But I'm seeing millions coming your way in the name of Jesus. And more importantly, the Lord is telling me, He said, tell her, what's your name? Grace? Faith. He said, tell Faith that she will touch a lot of money. Yes. For thus says the Lord, He said, the business of your hand will not fail. He said, for your selling business will not fail. Are you listening? The Lord will cause you to walk in millions. So go and prepare. You can go back to your seats. Then after church, come and meet me. Let me know whether it's a couple to be. Because this collabo, I'm seeing every time. I don't understand. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, like I said, the Lord will cause you to interface with opportunities. In the name of Jesus. I just see like somebody being catapulted, you know. Catapulted. More like a limp of faith. I sense it so strong. Yes, a limp of faith. When I saw that picture, I was seeing you, Donald, and I was seeing, come, let me tell you this word, come. I'm trying to use my logic. So I saw a million, but the Lord said, add 500,000 to it. So I see the Lord bringing you into money, that is worth 1,500,000. I don't know what has to do with that, but it comes. It comes to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Money cometh to you. Now, we understand what Jesus has done for us. I know salvation. I know everything. But the Lord told me to tell you a lot of money is coming to you. I understand holiness and righteousness. But right now in this section, I'm hearing the Lord saying, tell them a lot of money cometh now. He said, tell them your rest has come. It's unbelievable sometimes to prophesy to. The Lord told me to come, treasure. I would have not naturally want to prophesy to, because the way your stomach looks big, it's like you are already in your rest. But the Lord is telling me to tell you that your rest has come. Even though you look like your rest has come. Lift your hands. He said, your rest has come. Your rest has come. Your rest has come. Your rest has come. I'm hearing the word. See, listen. I'm hearing 600. He said, I'll bring you into a realm where salary will be over like 600,000. And I'll connect you with projects that will give you money in millions. Thus says the Lord. Let me be more detailed to you. I'm seeing the Lord bringing you to a job that will give you over 600,000. And I'm hearing the Lord saying that a project will come for over 900,000. And it is coming back, you know, the people will bargain it. He said, if it's 900,000, receive it. Thus says the Lord. And he says, walk two steps forward. Come forward. Just be coming. All right, stop. The Lord said, tell him that whatever has been weighing him down, he has left it behind. And is now walking into glory. You left three things, but I'll mention one thing. Huh? You know, one time we were doing prophetic, practicalizing prophetic in the school of ministry. I prophesied to you and I said, you were talking to a lady. You confirmed to me. And the Lord told me, he said, tell him that that lady, he didn't leave her automatically. It took some time. Am I lying? All right. So the Lord just told me that right now, thank God I'm not lying. He said, right now, he said, you will leave any woman in your life. That's the collateral. Are you hearing? That's the collateral. So the other two things you left is hinge upon this one I just said. So leave that lady. Leave any lady. Are you hearing me? No matter what she have told you. Oh, no. You see, this thing is just straight by butter. You leave, it comes. Your real wife has not come. You can quote me anywhere. If they like that, they'll quote my clip and insult me on the internet. But I'm telling you as a prophet. But she will come. Thus says the Lord. You can go and sit down. Lift your hands and just bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord is crowning all your effort with success. He said, tell my people to be rightly positioned because I want to bless them more than they want to be blessed. Thus says the Lord. He said, tell my people to be rightly positioned for I want to bless them more than they seek to be blessed. I desire to bless them more than they seek to be blessed. Now tell the Lord, I run away from anything procrastination. In the name of Jesus, what I ought to do now, I will begin to do. What I ought to do now, what I ought to learn now, I will begin to learn. In the name of Jesus, nothing will weigh me down. Tell the Lord that. Go ahead and pray for grace to do it. Go ahead. Pray for grace to do it. What I need to learn now, what I need to live now, what I live to lead to. Labro shikabaria katosia. For some is an addiction. Lord, I live it today. I'm hearing somebody who smokes. I can see you, but I'm being disciplined because this is more like a personal prophecy. And you are telling yourself, I'm leaving it today. The Lord has given you grace. It's time to stop smoking. You didn't even start long. You started not too long. It's time to live that way of life. Live it, for there is grace, thus says the Lord. And the lifter of my head fall down, oh Lord, a shield for me, my glory and the lifter. I want everyone to pray. Lift your voice in the realm of the spirit and pray. What I ought to do, I do it from now henceforth. I see men shedding scales in the spirit. Like serpent, they are removing the old scale for a new skin. Thus says the Lord, I will not put old wine, new wine in old wine skin.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.